Well, good morning again, everyone. Well, we've made it to the end of another series, and I hope you've enjoyed our brief excursion into the Book of Ruth. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm going to wrap it up this morning. Not do a wrap this morning. I tried to do a wrap once at a holiday club, and let's say it wasn't my finest hour. A bit like dad dancing, you know what I mean? I simply want to summarise our journey through Ruth's life and the experience of God that she had as she and others drew upon a deeper love in traumatic circumstances. The first thing I want us to acknowledge is that life makes no sense without God. That's my point number one this morning. Between the two apparent boundaries set to human existence, birth and death, life makes no sense. So wrote Dr. Peter Cottrell in his book, Mission and Meaninglessness. In 1982, the Jewish rabbi Harold Kushner crafted a moving book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, it was entitled. A book which had its origins in personal experience. His first child was afflicted with the condition known as progeria, rapid aging. The doctors told him that he and his wife that their son would never grow much beyond 3 feet high, that his son would have no hair on his head or body, and he would die in his early teens. Kushner comments on his reaction. What I mostly felt that day was a deep, aching sense of unfairness. It didn't make sense. I'd been a good person. I'd tried to do what was right in the sight of God. More than that, I was living a more religiously committed life than most people I knew who had large, healthy families. How could this be happening to my family? If God existed, He was minimally fair, let alone loving and forgiving. How could he do this to me? We hear in Kushner's words the reality of raw human experience, don't we? Isn't it true that with the passing of time and with growing experience of life, everyone becomes aware of the unsatisfactory nature of human existence? Even where our own families are spared massive suffering, we cannot surely remain unaware of its existence in the families of other people. And particularly at this time, we must be aware of the suffering of so many. The Book of Ruth helps us as we follow the life of a woman, indeed of two women, who know the hardships of life, but also know God and experience his intervention in their lives, which, in partnership with their own action, brings resolution to a situation that at face value looks meaningless, and hopeless. To recap the story so far, Naomi is married to Elimelech. Due to prevailing economic conditions, the family migrate to another country, to Moab, where a reasonable standard of living can be sustained. They're migrant workers, if you like. They have two sons who marry women indigenous to that country, Ruth and Orpah. They are becoming assimilated into that new country, all is well. Then Elimelech dies. But the two sons can provide for their mother, and so Naomi's family and their economic security is secure. Until, that is, the two sons die. Now, that is a tragedy in every way, as not only has Naomi's entire blood family died, but also her means of income that's been lost to her. Can you imagine the trauma that she must be experiencing? Normally, under these circumstances, Israelite women would be cared for by the extended family. A male relative would take her as his wife and have a child by her, and that child would be credited as being of the dead husband, and so the line, the family line, the family name could continue, and the women would be provided for in their retirement by the offspring. In this case, though, Naomi is too old to have children, and her daughters-in-law are not Israelites and are so not covered by such family law. The situation looks hopeless for them, desperate, in fact. Naomi says she's empty. No doubt she felt emotionally empty with the loss of her loved ones. We can understand that. And yet the meaning carries greater significance in this case. Her womb is empty. She is too old to start a family again. Her stomach may well have been empty because of her economic crisis, no provision for her or her daughters-in-law. And she may have felt the kind of emptiness which comes when you feel all alone and in a hopeless situation, asking where God is in all of this, just as the rabbi did over his son. Indeed, for Naomi, the emptiness was turning to bitterness as she expresses to the women of her hometown when she returns with just Ruth. In the midst of all this, we see Ruth, the foreign daughter-in-law who stuck by her mother-in-law. She had experienced something of the same trauma. She'd lost her father-in-law, she'd lost her husband. And she'd also put her trust in the same God that Naomi believed in. The two of them returned to Bethlehem and to God's people. Naomi was rather weary of life and all that it had brought her, and I'm not surprised. But we see Ruth, who had converted to faith in the Lord, taking bold, practical action as she lives out her life of faith. Up to this point, Naomi had allowed her faith to become merely a rather cerebral activity, we might say. She prayed, but she did nothing. Perhaps she just didn't have the emotional strength to do anything. Instead, she just left it all up to God to sort out, that she may be delivered from her present plight. But now, having been perhaps corrected in her spiritual journey, perhaps gathered a bit more strength in her life of faith by the younger one in the faith, she too puts her faith into action by hatching a plan of action. In chapter 3, verse 1, we read, "I must find a husband for you," Naomi says to Ruth. Like Naomi, when faced with all that life can throw at us, we're to respond in faith. That's the second thing. We are to respond, like Naomi, in faith. And how are we to do that? We're to trust God. Chapter 2, verse 20. "The Lord always keeps his promises to the living and to the dead." In other words, the whole family line. God keeps his promises. He's not constrained by life as we know it. So says Naomi, as she sees Ruth's faith in practical action. When life gets tough, there are two equal but opposite reactions that can take place. We can trust God and do nothing. Do just as Naomi did in the early chapters here and lay back in our hopelessness or in our naive, blind sort of believism kind of faith, saying that God will do what God will do and we need to do nothing. This isn't actually faith. It's fatalism. Faith demands action. We trust God and we act. God is a living God, And God's a God of movement, and he's a God of transformation. And we're not just passive partners with him in that. We are to be active partners, participants in his kingdom. God and his purposes are not things which are done to us, but involve us. I said two things, wasn't I? Didn't I? We can be fatalistic, or conversely, we may immediately go into overdrive. We can become very active, plotting and planning and listening only to ourselves. They're the two errors, actually, that we can take. Responding only in our own strength, taking control for ourselves and effectively not leaving enough room for God to move. Equal and opposite errors. Making so much noise that we can't hear God speak. Making the purposes of God collapse into our own schemes. We take control for ourselves, trusting in our own ability to survive the crisis. Neither scenario trusts God in reality. Our words might pretend that they do. We may think that we do, but we're not. Neither scenario believes his promises enough to allow his rule in our lives. Yet God is a God who keeps his promises, and our responsibility is to help him as he desires. So we trust God, and we listen to God, and we do as God instructs. So we are to pray, and we're to plan in faith. Once Naomi is awakened to this active faith in the Lord, she becomes just that, active. She carefully pieces together an action plan for Ruth to execute on behalf of half of them both. The plan was in keeping with the clear objectives of God to provide for them and to keep his promise to them. It was for the generous man of God, Boaz, a relative of Naomi's, to become their kinsman, their guardian, redeemer. In other words, to become the relative who provided for in-law, who would help them to restore and maintain their family name. He was to do that by taking Ruth as his wife, and so helping to provide a child to bear Elimelech's family name, the continuity thereof. Well, as we've discovered during the series, the plan was cunning, but not dishonest. It made Boaz decide if he was to take Ruth as his wife or not. But it didn't entrap him. It was helpful, but it wasn't manipulative. And Ruth takes the action by carrying out the plan to the letter. Likewise, we are to act in faith. I'm not suggesting we do exactly what Ruth did. I think they'd need to be very special and very desperate circumstances, but we are to act in faith. Ruth shows us by her bold action that she puts her life where her faith is. Ruth put her faith into action in what we would interpret as a somewhat unorthodox way, yet it was actually a recognized means of approach under the circumstances of the day. We need to recognize the culture in which this book is written. Boaz was an honorable man and certainly felt prompted to marry Ruth by this encounter, but he was a decent man. He did the honorable thing. And acceding to her request, he provided not only for Ruth, but also for Naomi. He affirmed that she should be empty no more. Chapter 3, verse 17. What a reversal. And we read in chapter 4 of the marriage and the child born to Ruth, which was to provide for Naomi also, as Naomi brought it up, and Obed, the child, provided for her in her old age. This is faith in action. Through active faith, the heartbreaking blows that life had thrown Naomi's way were to some extent ameliorated. God had helped her to move on with him and in very practical ways. And I guess the question remains then, but what of us? So my third point here is God will rescue us from trouble. Jesus is our Redeemer, a kind of guardian Redeemer, kinsman Redeemer. The God who entered Naomi's tragic life, helped her re-establish her broken life, entered her broken and hurting world through Boaz, but the same God, through Jesus Christ, enters our world. This Jesus is our Redeemer, the one who came to re-establish our family link with God, as it were, and so provide for our eternal well-being. There's parallels here with the work of Jesus in our lives and the work of Boaz in Naomi's. Like Naomi, we're to trust God in our situation. Like Naomi, we are to positively act in faith. Like Naomi, we are called to respond in faith to his offer to rejoin the family of God. Like Naomi, we can celebrate the fact that we can take our deepest sorrows and bring something good out of them when God is involved. And what we see beyond the detail is a God who doesn't abandon us in our time of trial and trouble and hardship, but a God who cares and wants to work with us for good, to bring healing and to bring wholeness to our lives. And I guess in all of this, I'm left with the question, will you respond like Orpah, the first daughter-in-law of Naomi, who returned to the security of what she'd known before? Or like Naomi and Ruth, who responded in faith and moved on in their lives to a new situation, trusting God to provide. They took the risk. And sometimes faith is spelled R-I-S-K, risk, taking the risk as we trust in God and we allow his purposes to be fulfilled in our lives. Well, the story of the book of Ruth is the story of the deepest love. It's the story of faithfulness. It's the story of transformation and restoration and redemption. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. It's a story that speaks into our lives today. And as we come to pray, let's ask God to continue to speak those powerful words into our lives during this difficult time. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the book of Ruth. We thank you for your whole Bible. We thank you that it speaks words of life, words of transformation, words that engage with the reality and the nitty-gritty of real life and bring the amazing interventions of God into those spaces and give us hope and give us all a future. Help us to grasp those things appropriately, to hold on to you, Lord, as we trust you for our future. As we trust you to bring transformation into our lives, as we trust you to use us to bring transformation into our community. Lord, help us to reflect on that and to see our place in your story being worked out through our lives. We pray in Jesus' name.